check back, say their name. Share the lifelines, let home show. Make space for the heavy, let love grow. Every day, every night, we keep hope alive. Not a moment, it's a movement. 24/7, 365. Hold on, tie it together, we survive. Suicide prevention. 24/7, 365.
Hello there. It's great to be back. I'm Elaine Menzies. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness. And with me today is my guest, Kathy Bass. Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
It's great to have you with us today. As our audience knows, we cover everything from suicide loss, ideation, mental health, and the environs there within. We are going to start off with Kathy giving us a little bit of information about her. So I'll let you take it away for now.
Okay, yeah. So I'm Kathy Bass. I'm an enrolled agent. I've been helping tax preparers or fight against the IRS for over 25 years. And I've also recently become an author of my book, well, a part of my book, a chapter in the book, Unbreakable Spirit, where I wrote a chapter about the death of my husband and how my healing through the death of my husband transformed me into abundance after the fact. once I realized he had things to heal, I had things to heal. And anyway, so the story is about my transformation, but dealing with his death. So that's why I'm here today, obviously.
Absolutely. And my condolences. It's always difficult when we lose someone. And I speak from experience, this year I actually lost my father. He was 92, so we were very blessed. However, it doesn't matter. We don't like to lose the people we love.
No, not at all. And so I'm a recovering widow of 6.5 years. And now I say recovering because I feel like it's one of those things you just never get over. But anyways, and in the book, I don't really talk about suicide. I didn't hit on the suicide aspect of his death. I'm here to share that side of the story, which I didn't write about. Yeah. But anyways, and in doing that and through my healing, I have realized that I want to help widows during their grief and help them with their financials or to have financial stability during their grief while you're dealing with all the mess of grief. Finances is the last thing you want to think about.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So anyway, since going through this transformation, I realized that's my place here on earth is to help other widows succeed instead of.
Right. Yeah, that's very noble of you for sure. It's got to be hard to find yourself all of a sudden probably doing things that really were not a part of your day-to-day. In your husband handled the finance and...
Actually, I handle the finance. So for me, on that side of things, it was an easy peasy. But on the other side, which is the mental side, and then dealing with everything, that was the hard part, obviously. But that's why I feel like this is my place to help the widows, because I do have the strong financial background that I can help them through that. So
in a way, actually, on the one hand, that would be more difficult because you would have to be paying attention to things that probably were not uppermost in your mind. And you have a daughter?
A daughter and a son. So they were both 12 and 15 when he passed. So that was not the best ages.
No, there aren't any good ages, but that's really hard to be young teens. And wow, that's so difficult. I'm going to let you start where you want to start. And I think something that our audience knows and that we share here is sharing our stories can help lighten the burden. And I find that it goes for the audience as well as my guests. Without further ado, you can take control now, Kathy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, so my whole healing started when I started writing my chapter for this book, which was funny how it transformed. I was just going to write my money story, and I wasn't really going to get into the widowhood and my husband and things like that. But once I started writing and all of that, we call it flow writing. I was getting a lot of things and a lot of memories and a lot of things that were coming back to me as I was writing. So it really turned into a healing process for me and triggered the healing that I went through. But in writing the story, also, there's so many layers to the story, so I could write a whole book on the whole thing instead of just a chapter. but my husband's story is a little interesting in the fact that I guess I'll start with how he passed so we can just get to the nitty gritty of everything. But so he was working on my mother's house, trying to get it fixed up so we could sell it to move on and do things for ourselves. Anyways, he had gone out kayaking that day, and he did not tie his kayak up good. And it had floated out into the middle of the lake. And so he went to go retrieve the kayak, and it was about 50 yards out. He drowned on his way to retrieving his kayak. He made it right up to it and just couldn't. It was a nice spring day, so it was beautiful weather, but it was the temperature of the water was like 48 degrees is what they.
Oh, wow.
The fact. So it was like a shock to his system, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he either cramped up or had a heart attack and his swimming to the kayak. And then when he got right up to it and then tried to grab on, and he couldn't lift his arm up from what, because there were people in boats around him that tried to go and save him and everything. So it was, So it was accidental, but he also struggled, which I write about this in the story a little bit of how he did struggle. He was abused as a child, sexually, physically, and how that affected him his entire life. And so it was ruled drowning, accidental, but I know my husband, and I know that he decided to that was the day. So let me just breathe in and have for a minute.
You just take your time, go at your own pace. This is a lot because I understand you didn't share any of this in the book. So
this
is fairly new.
And a lot of people, when I tell them that, they think I've lost my mind and tell me, I don't know. How do you know that? This and that. I know my husband. I know. I just know. I don't know how else to tell you, but, and I can go on to more stories behind that where I do know. That's what triggered me to want to be on your podcast was that it took a whole nother level of healing for me, realizing that it was on purpose, but accidental. Yeah. But anyway, so that's what brought me here and led me to, and I've gone through several things and writing the book, I could talk about how I struggled and almost died while I was writing it and almost didn't make it into the book. And then
that's not good.
No, but again, it was just part of my healing and part of my transformation. And I've come out on the other side so much stronger and wiser. And I want to help other people. And if I can help other people that are in the same place he was, that just makes me feel even better.
Oh, absolutely. And you had said about widows and helping widows because you have this background in finance, which I think is wonderful because that's, I think, one of the last things you want to deal with when there's been a death is anything that's mundane, routine, but requires doing. You can't just leave the finances alone because you don't feel like it, but quite often after a death, there's a lot of things you don't feel like doing.
Yes, for sure. And then you're also bombarded with all these scams and different things because you're a target because you're a widow. And that was also overwhelming dealing with all that.
I hadn't even thought of that, but that makes perfect sense. There's so much out there now. You need a booklet for people. Mm-hmm. That tell them what to watch out for, because there is so much out there. I know I talk to other friends that have elderly parents, and people are always concerned with what do we do? How do we make sure they don't get scammed by people? How do we make sure that they're not buying into any of these schemes that are online or on the phone or... It's very difficult these days for people to protect themselves.
Yes. And you're also vulnerable because you're lonely and they know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course, you're not really, everyone's different. Everyone grieves differently. But yes, it's like they know all the soft points to come at you with to try to take advantage.
Yeah. And it's such a vulnerable time. As a widow, it would be you definitely really have to watch out and be much more aware, which sometimes isn't all that possible when you're grieving.
Right. You're in such a fog. You're doing good to get out of bed, let alone pay a bill, you know?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
So it's definitely a struggle. And then what got me the most was, I think, the people that you would think were your safe, your financial advisor, the funeral homes, the different things like that, that are there to support you. They're also after your money and trying to scam you as well, or buy that fancy coffin because your husband would have wanted that. And he told me he wanted to be in a pine box, cremated. And for them to try to tell me what my husband wanted is just insane. But again, they're trying to make money. But so you just get more hurt every time you go out into the world because there's someone else that you're just banging your head against the wall, trying to just make it through the day. But yet everybody wants something from you still.
That's so true. And it's funny that they all play on shame, that buy the better casket. It'd be a shame to put him in something not spectacular. We went through that as well with my dad. My father would have been mortified. We had given him some big fancy schmancy casket. He would have been very annoyed.
Exactly. Like, how dare they tell us what we know?
Yeah. It's like, these are our people. We know. But that being able to play on that shame and guilt that everybody seems to feel because you want to do right by your people. It's unfortunate, but it does play into the worst people out there. Mm-hmm. And for the average widow, God, it's something I hadn't actually thought about, but it's got to be so difficult protecting yourself, protecting your kids. And just in passing, your kids are with other kids that they let them know that they've lost a parent. That's when you get those vultures circling around. They know where to look, which it really can be very scary when you think about what's out there. What are a couple of things you would suggest to someone who is recently widowed to watch out for?
Just everything. No, I'm teasing. But the biggest thing is, it depends on how active you are on social media. Social media is one of the biggest targets where they come in at. When you're just trying to fill a void of, you know, for your family. And so I would go to Facebook to reach out to my friends and family to talk and get support through them. But in that, I'm also getting inundated by these friend requests, or even comments on the post on, oh, I just want to be your friend. And then I'm like, here's a platform. We can be friends on, you know, on this post if you want to be my friend. But they don't talk to you after that because they just want your money or whatever they're after. But it's just everywhere. And it's almost like if you post about it, they know about it. But if you don't, then that's still, you're still a target. Anyways. And like I said, the funeral homes, when you go in there, I also have another widow friend of mine that she went to her financial advisor and he was just telling her that she needed to get remarried instead of that her husband would want her to be remarried. And she's over, and she, you don't even know my husband, but it's
hard.
The stories I've been hearing from other widows is just really blowing my mind. Like, on how, like, it's a new something every day I'm hearing that how you can be scammed, or how someone's just trying to tell you what to do, or you need to sell your house. When I'm ready to sell my house, not this week, maybe next year, whatever. All the vultures just come out of hiding, and it's
Wow. Yeah. It's really something you don't think about. But I know we did a few experiments online with walking by friends. You were in a restaurant or somewhere and you start talking about something that is of no interest to them. We have a single friend and I started talking about red sequin high heels, stilettos, blah, blah, blah. This was a little experiment we did. The next time he got online, he said, I don't know what's going on. I'm getting inundated with women's shoes. I don't know what's going on. But that's exactly what goes on and how they target people. When you respond on social media, there are actually scammers that are looking for posts for condolences and for, and there's ones even for children that are graduating and different things that they have a hold on, an alert, so that they can see these, so that they can pull whatever scam they're working on at the time, which is really quite awful. But it's a, I think it's really about protecting yourself, which is really hard at that time. So I think it's almost important for people to find out way ahead of time, almost before you lose anybody, what you have to watch out for. You know, what is it? Forearmed is forewarned, or forewarned is forearmed, however that works. Because it, you're not the first person I've heard this from. And it is, to me, it's the worst in humanity coming out when someone's already hurting. The last thing they need is someone preying on them.
Exactly. And then other ones, we're talking about family members. You're the children of the spouse that now are, want their inheritance, and the list goes on and on. It's pretty much anyone that breathes could be a scammer.
Yes, sad but true. Definitely sad but true.
But yeah.
Yeah, and making sure that you can protect yourself and you can protect your children is so important. And more than that, it's how do you protect your children from people around them when they're not with you in public and in social media? Were you able to curtail their social media? Or were you directly involved and knew where they were online? Or
no, actually, that's one thing I let them do on their own, but is to give them the privacy to do and say what they would like. But I was always talking to them about it and saying, hey, this goes on, just watch out for this, just giving them tips on what to look out for, but not really trying to, because I wanted to give them, in case they didn't want to say things to me specifically to make me sad, because that's another struggle when you're dealing with death, is that your children don't want you to be sad, so they don't necessarily want to talk to you about it, even though I'm trying to pull it out of them and want them to talk about it. They're just, they clam up. So that's been a struggle too.
Yeah, and it is hard when the family's grieving, because there's always going to be family members who don't want to say anything because they don't want to hurt anyone else when the other people want to hear. Okay, I'm a firm believer in say their name. My grandmother, not just my mom, my kid's grandmother, but my own grandmother. I've said this before on the show, my grandchildren, long after she was gone, they know her like she's been with them all along, because we talk about her and her memories. And when the whole family's at dinner, Granny and Aunt Kathleen and my mom and dad and my husband's mom and dad, they're all part of the conversation. We bring the family with us. And I think it's important to keep their memories alive, but it's also important that connection for our children. Even though people are gone, their memories are still there for us. And absolutely for your kids. And I just have to say, I love your answer there, that you weren't like overlording them. You were letting them do their thing, trying to be circumspect and still letting them know what was out there. I think that's probably the best way to go. Depending on how young they are and depending on how impressionable some kids are, it is a very fine line to walk. And we're millennials and Gen Z and now the alphas. We're in the third generation who have never not known the internet. So a lot of them are much more savvy than we would think.
Oh yeah, and they're gonna circumvent it anyway, so That was kind of my fault anyway. They'll find a way around it. So
that's so true. That is so true.
But it does make me sad that and now they're finally starting to come around and talk more about their father and stuff. But for a long time, it was like pulling teeth trying to get them to talk. And to me, grief is love. And that is how we keep them alive and in our memories. And so I'm trying to instill that in them and to let them know it's okay. And if I cry, that's okay. Yeah. It's just part of what goes along with it. That's how we're going to heal. That's how we're going to move on to the next step in life.
That is such a good and healthy attitude. Because very often, yeah, the kids don't want to say anything because they don't want to upset the parent that's left. And that can create its own very toxic environment for the children and the mom or dad, whoever may be left. Because it is, if you allow that wall to build up, it can be very difficult. And we've seen it over time in families who have lost a spouse to whatever. It can be really hard if the children are not brought into the conversations after, part of the funeral, part of what's happening at the cemetery, part of those things. It is more important now because children are much more aware of all the stages of life now than they ever were. When I was a kid, I'm going to be 70 soon. So when I was a kid, somebody in the family died that wasn't immediately like in the room with you. It was, they died and that was it. You never heard another thing. And then there would be like a cooling off period. And then they would be brought back into the conversation at the dinner table and their memories would be kept going. But there was this certain period of silence that I just used to find odd.
Yeah. And like your friends and family do the same thing. They don't want to talk to you about it because I got the plague now because my husband died. And I'm contagious, but I'm not contagious. At least I hope
that's
not.
So true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
did you find you friends drifted away or?
Yeah, my core friends that I've had for a really long time, they've still been there. But the ones that I've met over the years that have been in and out, they all ran like chickens.
It can be so hard to deal with reality. And there are people who will say, oh, it's what stage are you in? It's time to get over your grief. No, it's not. There is no time. Okay, you get over it when you get over it. But I believe that once you board the grief train, you will always have a seat and that you get on and you get off as life goes by. And sometimes when someone else loses someone, you get back on to support them. But it becomes a lifelong journey.
Yeah. And people who don't see that, I think they're just fooling themselves.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. And we've done the best we can. We do the best we can with what we got. I'm not trying to say that people are wrong in their beliefs, but at the same time, it's like that's important to me too. I agree with you 100%.
The reason I do this podcast is because I lost one of my very best friends when I was 16. Her name was Andrea. And that's more than 50 years ago. And yet there are some days where it just hits you full in the face. And it just has to be. And the fact is, when we love people, we want to keep their essence with us. And being able to tell people that, being able to tell people it's okay to talk about people, it's okay to keep their memories alive no matter what. I think that is so critically important.
100%. Oh, I lost what I was going to say. I'm so sorry. Okay, it's okay. Go ahead.
And what's the name of the book?
It's Unbreakable Spirit. It's 18 stories of feminine resilience, blessings, and renewal. And it's 18 different women that have gone through different struggles in life and how they surpassed their struggles and how we all made it through and are making it to the other side.
Oh, that is awesome.
So it's very, we call it like a woman's circle where we all came together and we wrote and supported each other. And that brought me back to what I was going to say, which was that the writing, that was one thing that helped me with like what you said about the healing. Writing was how I was able to keep those memories. Because when my husband first died, I was terrified. Oh, I'm going to start forgetting some of the stuff. Yeah. And so I just started writing every time I'd have a memory, I'm grabbing my journal, write it down. And that was what started my journey with writing. I never thought I was going to, maybe when I retire, I'll write and this and that. But it really led me to the book and the healing. And that writing was the medicine.
That's so important. Because I think one thing that a lot of people don't think about, but as you heal, your children get to heal too. And the more you heal you, the better it is for your kids.
Yeah, and I see that happening now in my children. Now that I'm starting to become my playful self again and actually trying to enjoy life again, they're just kind of like, who are you? What's going on? I'm like, no, this is where we're supposed to end up. I want to laugh and smile when I think of my husband now. I don't want to cry. I'm still going to have those days, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I just want to live his life, but still respect his life and keep his life alive. Keep his memory alive.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that's the making the best of the situation and understanding. Like, I think the writing probably helped you get to a place where you understood that you could move on in certain areas. Because I know that there's a time after you lose someone, particularly this way, where it feels like a betrayal to laugh. It's like you find something funny, enjoy the day, feel like, oh, that's not fair. I'm enjoying and he's not or she's not. And we have to get past those things. But part of the issue and part of why I do this podcast is because we are still keeping the stigma, the shame, and the silence that makes it hard for people to handle suicide and ideation and even mental health problems. If we bring these out into the open and we start what I call conversations, that's how we save lives. And that is my ultimate goal here, is to save lives. And I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing with us your journey. If you could leave anyone who becomes widowed or anyone who has recently been widowed with something that you think would be very important for them to know or to do, what would it be?
I would say that feel your feelings. Let them flow. That's the only way you're going to get through. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have a few good days, mostly bad days. And you got to feel your way through them. So when you come out on the other side, you're not still dealing with that, with the anger and the shock and all the stuff that will go away with time. If you do the grieving, if you don't do the grieving, it'll still be there. And that's another point in my chapter, not to start a whole nother conversation, but I've had a lot of death in my life. And one of my coaches actually said to me that death is your friend. And I cringed because I was like, no, I don't like that. But at the same time, once it hit me, I was like, this is why I'm here. I'm here because I can help people through this grief process. I can help them financially. I can help them, whatever. I can just sit with them, whatever, give them a hug, whatever they need. That's what I want to do. And so I applaud you for what you do too. And it's so important because 24/7, 365 is 100%, 100%.
Thank you. It's been lovely to get to meet you. It's really nice when I get to meet someone who's talking about their healing journey and you can really see they have come through that journey. Sometimes people think they've made it through and they really haven't, and it can be very sad, but you have obviously done the hard work, and that is super commendable. It's difficult. I offer you my condolences totally. I offer you my thanks for coming on the show. I know our audience does as well. But please remember, okay, Kathy is also in tax services, folks. So I think that's important. And you can see her website down below us. And down below that will be all the show notes and all the information and how you can get a hold of Kathy, how you can get a hold of the book with Kathy's story in it, and anything else you need to know about Kathy will be there as well. I thank you so much for being my guest, Kathy. I really do appreciate you coming on. I'm hoping you join us and be part of the Dark Pollyanna crew who is doing 24/7, 365. We're going to keep hope alive for each and every one of you. I thank you. I thank my audience. And as I always say, make the very best of your today, every day. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Trul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist, Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to SZF42.com. And for our American listeners, that's SZF42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.
Through the pain, we all belong together in hope, because you matter.